Parshas Bo, we have the last three of the Makos. I'd like to focus in Emirat Hashem today on the Makkah of Choshech, of darkness. Let's take a look at the Psukim. Hashem said to Moshe, stretch for your hand toward the heavens, and there shall be darkness upon the land of Egypt, and the darkness will be tangible. The Hebrew is Vayamesh Choshech, that you can, Rashi says, Vayamesh, as you can mamish feel it. L'mashvesh. Moshe stretched forth his hand toward the heavens, and there was a thick darkness throughout the land of Egypt for a three-day period. No one could see his brother, nor could anyone rise from his place for a three-day period, but for all the children of Israel there was light in their dwellings. And as Rashi points out, it was really a six-day Makkah. 3 days they could not see anything. There was a thick darkness. And then the following 3 days, one could not see anyone else, nor could one rise from his place for a three-day period. As Rashi notes, those who were standing couldn't sit, and those who were sitting couldn't stand. They were like, you know, those wax museums, like frozen in place. Rashi asks, V'lama hevi aleim choshech? Why did he bring the plague of darkness against them? And again, as the Sforim point out, that Eish Tamid brings this, that the reason why Rashi asks this here and not by the other Mako, it's because generally the Makos were in order to show the Egyptians Hashem's hand. But if there was complete darkness, then they couldn't see anything. There was no lesson to be learned. So obviously there must be another reason why Hashem brought this plague. Rashi notes, Shayu b'Yisrael v'alto ador v'shoyim. There were among Israel of that generation wicked individuals. V'lo hayu rotzim latzeid, who did not wish to depart from Egypt. U'meitu b'shloshim e'afel, and they died during this 3 days of gloom. And this happened so that the Egyptians should not witness their downfall and say they too have been smitten like we have been. And furthermore, during these days, the Israelites sought out and sought Egyptian vessels. When they subsequently departed and asked the Egyptians for vessels to take with them, and the Egyptians would say, we possess nothing, then the Israelites would say to them, I saw it in your house, it's in this place, you can open the drawer, there it is. Let's take a look at a number of ideas in Rashi. First and foremost, if we take a look at the article Stone Chumash in its commentary in Source 2, it would seem that he looks at Rashi a little bit different than Pshuto Sharashi. He notes in the bracket, among the Jews there are people who did not deserve to be freed, and he adds, because they were so assimilated in Egyptian culture, there was no hope for them to return to the covenant of Israel. Now that's a little bit different than Rashi, who said that these are the people who did not wish to depart from Egypt. So you could say it's an explanation. They didn't want to depart from Egypt because they were so assimilated. We need to understand, who were these Rishayim? Who were these wicked people? Why did they die? Question one. Question two we need to ask ourselves is, how do we understand the fact that the Jews were looking at the vessels of the Egyptians? You know, this Rashi should really bother us. We're very into protecting the honor and the possessions of other people, and here we have the Jews snooping around in other people's, you know, places. It seems to be so anti-moral. So, according to Rashi, the answer is to know where everything was. According to the Mechilta, which is found at the end of 2, it would raise the esteem in the eyes of the Egyptians that here they would know that the Jews had the ability to take things, and they didn't. They could have taken everything. The Egyptians wouldn't even know who took what, because it was total darkness. By the fact that they knew that the Jews looked in these different places and didn't take anything, that showed a tremendous amount of esteem. That raised the esteem of the Egyptians, of the Jews in the eyes of the Egyptians. But still, the question needs to be understood. It's still, I understand that they were looking for where the things were. They didn't take it. That was the Kiddush Hashem. But nevertheless, looking through other people's possessions, again, seems so anti-Jewish. How do we understand this Rashi? Further, the Ares Tzvatenu asks a number of other questions. On the question, on the Pasuk, Vayamesh Choshech, Rashi again says, and you can feel it. Notes the Ares Tzvatenu of Schlesinger that Vayamesh literally means Loshon Hashara, to remove. For example, V'Yoshua ben Nun Nar Lo Yamush Mitoch Ha'or. He never was removed. So Vayamesh Choshech, it's as if the darkness was removed, which is counter to the Pshat in the Pasuk. How do we understand literally the word Vayamesh? Further, we know that the Chumash tells us at the end that in all of Israel, Israel, there was Or b'mosh shvotav. There was light in their dwellings. So we have to understand this as well. If it was just a question that they didn't have darkness, which it's they, and they didn't have darkness, why did it specifically say, and they had light? Kadosh Baruch Hu had this, that they had light and darkness at the same time. What's pshat here? And the plague of darkness, the Jews, it would have been sufficient to say, and the Jews did not suffer from darkness. Why does it note specifically, and the Jews had light? What do we learn from this? Further, we know that there's a machloket in the Gemara, and this is brought down in source number 6, where did this darkness come from? So one opinion is that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the darkness originated in the celestial spheres. Of this darkness, it is said he'd made darkness his hidden place, his pavilion around him. Rabbi Nechemya contends that on the contrary, the darkness came from the regions of Gehenna. From the book of Eo, before I go without hope of return to the land of darkness and the shadows of death. The Maharal explains that in the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the darkness corresponds to the state of nothingness which preceded creation and originated from a source of purity. According to Rabbi Nechemya, however, the wicked are unworthy of being affected by something from such a pure source, and said that darkness was uncovering the shades of death as the horror of punishment were unleashed. So I can understand that if we say the darkness was coming from, as Rabbi Nechemya says, coming from a place of destruction of Gehenna. But how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it's coming from a high celestial place? Why would the Egyptians be deserving of a darkness coming from such an exalted place? How do we understand this? How do we indeed understand this machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya? And finally, Birkas Mordechai's question in source number 5, why is the Chumash emphasizing to us that no man moves from his dwelling place, nor can anyone rise from his place? What is the Chumash trying to tell us that nobody moved, right? Those who were sitting couldn't get up, those who were stood up couldn't sit down. What is the Chumash trying to teach us? Obviously, it's a description of the intensity of the darkness, clearly. But every imagery in Chumash is here to teach us a lesson. In short, my friends, a lot of questions for today. What was the Makas Choshech about? How do we understand what the plague was about? How do we understand who were the Jews that died? How do we understand where that the Jews were snooping around other people's houses? How do we characterize this darkness? What's the significance of the fact people are standing, sitting? What is this darkness all about? And obviously, my friends, the final question which we ask ourselves every week is Maze Balu Lamdenu. What do we learn from this for our lives? Darkness deciphered. I'd like to work with, as our point of departure, a very beautiful, a little bit of a Kabbalistic idea, but a very beautiful idea that we'll understand to the best of our ability, that's found in a lot of the Sfarim. We'll take a look at it from the Or Gedaliah, who notes in Source 7, Ita b'sfarim ke'eser makos hem keneged ha'asara mamaros shebehem nivra ha'olam. That the 10 makos correspond to the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. And each makah, each plague, corresponded to a different one of the sayings with Hashem created the world. Now we know. The Mishnah of Pirkei Avos tells us that Hashem could have created the world with one maimer, with one saying, let there be a world, and then everything would have come into being. Hashem didn't do so. He created it with 10 utterances in order to give reward to the righteous. What's this about? So the Or Gedaliah Rav Shor explains, had Hashem created the world with one utterance, let there be a world, and the trees and the flowers and the birds and the fish and everything would have come from that one utterance. It would have been so clear that Hashem was in charge of this world that there was very little, like, you know, diversion between the word of God and that which came in, right? That everyone would know that God is running this world. And therefore, the tzaddikim, the righteous, who would follow Hashem's will, would get very little reward. It'd be like a no-brainer. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what he did was, he created the world in 10 utterances, which means, let's work with this concept here, that every time Hashem said, let there be something, it was as if, kivyachol, Hashem's essence, being, came into that item, and therefore was like swallowed up in that item, and the challenge is to be able to see godliness in that item. So had God just said, let there be a world, so then you would clearly see God everywhere. Now when I say, let there be trees, so it's Ke'ilu, Hashem's word is found in the tree. Hashem's word is found in the birds, etc. And our challenge is now to be able to uncover that indeed in every tree, in every leaf, is godliness. And that's why our reward is so much greater, because our work is so much harder. And hence, we know that the idea, V'lodat ha'adam hi, the end of 7, la'kir v'lerot she'v'chol davar yesh elokut ha'mechaye oto. Our challenge is to be able to see that there's godliness giving life to every aspect of creation. Ki av she'yesh hester b'briyas ha'olam, just although, albeit that there is concealment in this world, u'kishe'etza milat olam ara, which is what the word olam means, the Sfarim say from the word helam, concealment, but it's only through the concealment that you have the ability to reveal and to be able to see godliness. And every time that we have the ability to do so, and we say a tree is only here because God wills it for this very moment for the tree to be here, at that moment I have created a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I've discovered God. I've brought myself and the world one step closer to recognition of God. And that's why, as another Yeshaya says, continuing in Source 8a, lift up your eyes, uru, and see me, bara Ela, who created these things? Me and Ela, spell out the word Elohim, God. Elohim, the same gematria as Hateva, nature. That our challenge is to lift ourselves up in the asterisks in 8a, v'im ha'adam magbiat atzmo min ha'shichacha, if we can raise ourselves up above forgetfulness, v'yashnut me'olam hazeh, and being in this like sleepy state in this world, that we're able to lift up our eyes, as you shall look here, mitocha briya atzma, umitocha teva atzmo, mibaraila, you can see from nature itself who created these things. And indeed, the Rambam Maimonides teaches us that this is one of the ways to come to loving God, of looking at nature, looking at the world around us, and it screams out, I'm sorry, right, from my own flesh, I'm able to see, echoz elokai, I'm able to see godliness. Now, my friends, with this we can appreciate an A.B. V'zehaya inyan Esther Makos, l'galota Esther shalosa mamrumros. The Makos came to reveal to everybody that Hashem created the world. What were the Makos about? They weren't just punishment. They were, and they are for us, ad hayom hazeh, revelation of godliness, that you know, that you know there's no one other like God. It's what the Makos themselves scream at, that Hashem exists in nature. Each one of the Makos came to reveal God's hand in a different aspect of the Asar Mamaros, the 10 utterances with which Hashem created the world. And he notes, Ita v'sfarim, it's mentioned in the Sfarim, Shechoshvi mimata lamala, the end of 8b, that we go backwards. That the Makah Rishonai Kenegra Maimar HaSiris, that the first Makah corresponds to the 10th utterance, and therefore the 10th Makah, Makah Choshek, corresponds to the first utterance of Reishis Bara, of God creating the world, which is like the epitome, the height, it's God Himself in revelation at its first, at its inception. Makah Bechoros was clearly the Ashras Hashchina, the divine presence coming down, and that's how it meets. With this in mind, my friends, we can, and again, the Sfarim speak about how each Makah came to reveal a different aspect of the 10 utterances. Let's take a look at our Makah, which is what concerns us today. HaMakah HaTshi'it, the 9th Makah, Haita Makas Choshech, and that was V'hi Mechuvenek K'neged HaMaimar Hazeh Shel Yehi Or, and that was parallel to the 2nd of the utterances, Let There Be Light. Now, you take a look at this and you say, okay, v'zepashut, it seems logical. There was darkness for the Egyptians and light for the Jews, vayihi or. However, you then say to yourself, well, hold on a second. It's really not so parallel because there was darkness and it says, and there should be light. And how do we understand this? So he explains in source number 9, and this is very, very important. He says, the fact that there is a contradiction, how can there be darkness and light at the same time, is only because God wired us with an understanding that one of the principles of the world is we don't live in a world of contradiction. However, when we understand that God is the one who created the world, and God is the one who programmed into the world that there's contradiction. So then I understand that when God wills it, we do live in a world of contradictions, and light and darkness can function at the very same time. Ah, that's so unusual. That then allows us to take a look and understand by he or. God is the one who said there shall be light. The one who said there shall be light can at that very same moment create darkness. That's the power of God. That's the revelation of by he or. Choshech ten, zeh, shayayitzo, mitzrim, lo ya rek ha'edah or, rek ha'choshech haya mitziyot shel choshech. It wasn't just a lack of darkness, a lack of light. It was darkness in its own. Vayamesh choshech, shayam mamashot shel choshech, as the Rabban explained, it was very powerful darkness. Nitbarer shirak b'nei ha'maminim b'kresh baruch hu shayachim lano ma'or shel ma'amar yehi or. והמצרים שאינם מאמינים בהשקטו יתברה בבריאה לא יבחותם לתים עצמם אם זה מאמר של היאור. If you held and believed in God, then you're able to tap into that there is light. If you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the power of God, so then you will live in a world of total darkness. And therefore, in Source 11, the Shu'ei Chumash Rav Olba brings down from the Sabbath of Sabbatka that what you really see in these makos, and this you see by makos dam, and you really see it throughout all the makos, culminating in choshech in a very powerful and poignant way, is the idea of hashkocha prati, is the idea of divine providence. That just because God says, let there be light, doesn't mean that everyone is going to enjoy light. The fact that there's light means that God wants you, the individual, to have light. And if God didn't want you to have light, there will be darkness. Haraya, the proof, that the Egyptians had darkness and the Jews had light. Wherever the Jew went, there was light. Wherever the Egyptian went, if he could go at all, there was darkness. And that's to come to teach us that you shouldn't think that when you walk outside and the sun is shining, it's shining for the world. No, yes, but no, the sun is shining for you individually. The rain is for you individually to enjoy each and every raindrop of rain. And that is probably the most pashut, even though nothing's pashut, the most simple way of understanding this makom, the most basic way, that this was choshech, this was mamish darkness, not just an absence of light, it was mamish darkness on the Egyptians, and the Jews had light. This is coming to prove to us that God is the one who's the control of Vayhi or let there be light. And Hashem tailor makes every individual what experience they should have in this world. And what we should be inspired from in our own lives is to see the tremendous Hashkocha Prati, divine providence that Hashem maneuvers and masters over each and every one of us in our lives. Okay, my friends, that's simple. That's what we've learned as you know, from grade school and up. Now let's take a look at a little bit of a deeper idea, perhaps, my friends, an idea we've alluded to, Hanukkah, we've alluded to in the past, and I want to develop it a little bit more in Yirtzeh Hashem today. I'd like to begin with the writings from Moshe Shapira, so Shema should have an Aliyah, in the Sefer Mimamakim. And again, he says in Source 12, HaKetzad HaChoshech Yemakbil El Ha'or, V'alo Advarim Nerim Kedavar V'Ipucho. How is it that Choshech, the darkness, is parallel to let there be light? It seems to be the opposite. So he says, take a look when God created the light. It says, Vayar Elokim et Ha'or, Vayomer Elokim Yior Vahior, Vayar Elokim et Ha'or Kitov, Vayevdel Elokim et Ha'or Ven Choshech. Hashem saw the light was good, and he separated between the light and the darkness. So Rashi brings down that Vayar Elokim et Ha'or, God saw the light was good. He saw that the light was too powerful to be brought into this world, and he hid this light for the tzaddikim, for the righteous people in the future. What does this mean? So, Be'er Inyan, Shebiyom HaRishon Ha'ir Oto Or Elyon Megala Tachlit HaSofit Shel Abriya. This light, and we've spoken about this at length, that Adam HaRishon was able to see from one end of the world to the other, the 36 hours he benefited from this light. This light is about light of clarity. That's what it means to see from one end of the world to the other. It means that you understand so clearly what the world is about. Hamatara she'leha b'riyat so'edet. You understand the world is moving toward a specific place. As we know that the Or HaGanuz hu sof ha'tachlif v'tikun hakol. That's the ultimate world. And we're moving toward that destination. You know, it's that famous maisa of the rabbi who went to the inn. And he couldn't sleep all night because of the grandfather clock ticking, and he asked the innkeeper in the morning, whose clock is this? And it was a Chosev Lublin's clock. they'd given him for whatever reason, and he said, I could tell this clock is so different because most clocks are very sad. They mark every moment that has passed, and we have one less moment left in this world. This clock is a very happy clock. You hear the ticking, it's one moment closer to the Geula, one moment closer to the redemption. That's what the Or HaGadol was about. You felt like you were moving toward this destination of ultimate light, of Or Chadash on Tzion Ta'ir, of a new light that's going to rise on Tzion. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid this light, because he knew that the tzaddikim who are not going in this direction are going to abuse this light. Now I appreciate Yehior, who la'ira p'nei mitzvot hamitim. Let there be light means, let there be consciousness, let there be clarity in this world. V'legalot et, let us understand clearly from where the world is going. And hastarat ha'or, achein, therefore, when the light is concealed, which is the world we're living in, is the world of darkness where we don't have this with the same clarity. The Egyptians were individuals who lived in a world of darkness. That was their shita. They lived in a world where you have, you know, sorcery and magicians. It was a world that wasn't a world of bringing godliness into this world. In fact, it was a world that was denied, right? Paro says, Ani Yoriv, Ani Asitinu, I'm the Nile, I've made it, you know, I'm God. It was a denial of God. And that's why we understand that the Malbi notes, and this is in the asterisk in 14, that Makash Choshech wasn't darkness, it was Be'etzem Gilui Or HaGadol. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was to take out this original light that he had hidden for the tzaddikim in the future, and it was this spiritual light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shown during this six-day period. And just like bats who cannot deal with, the daytime, they can only function in night, in darkness. The Egyptians, whose whole life was functioning in a world of darkness, and darkness meaning on a spiritual level, a world that was depleted of any godliness, when they felt such intense light, they were frozen. They were blinded by this light. What is the connection between Choshech and Vayior? The Makkah of Choshech came to be able to show everybody that there's only one reality in this world. It was about, and again, we're going upward, right? Makkah of Choshech is the ultimate, and Makkah of Bechoros, the death of the firstborn, that it was Gilui Kvod Hashem, that Hashem himself passed over the houses. This is the step right before that, where you see godliness coming down into this world, and you realize that Hashem is the one who's orchestrating this whole world to its ultimate destination. So that is right. Choshech is Vayior, exactly. The Makkah's Choshech, darkness, is really the Makkah, the plague of intense light. Light from what? From the Vayior, from the original light, when God said, let there be light. And that's why the Jews had the ability to be able to see. Almost the best way, I think, to understand it is X-ray vision. Because that's what the light afforded them. Not just light like we have, you turn on the light and I'm able to see what's in the house. But X-ray vision allows you to be able, l'chdor pnima, to go inward, to be able to see what's inside. So what happened was, according to this, the Jews didn't snoop in and open every drawer. See what's in here. Ooh, this looks interesting. No! All they had to do was walk into their house, and they were able to already see what was inside everything in the house. That was the power of their vision, without touching anything, without moving anything. That was that B'nai Israel Haya Or B'Mashrotam, where they dwelled, within themselves, wherever they went. They had this power of Or. Now listen to this, my friends, it's absolutely gevaldik in 14. Lumadzot, on the other hand, Hamitzrim lo yu ruyim v'lo yu mesuginim le'not mizeh Or. The Egyptians obviously could not benefit from this light. It was too intense for them. And therefore, Ligabeim Nitpasoto or Kechoshechafela, for them, this light of clarity, this light of spirituality, this light of godliness was blinding to them. It was as if it was them living in the dark. Vayado nitla mehem efsharut lalech l'makom chafsam v'lagir liyadam hamuvad v'lo kamu ish mitachtav. And now I understand why they didn't move. Because the whole idea of this light is about movement, movement toward redemption. At the moment that they are caught in this lie, at the moment where they realize that they're living a life of darkness and not a reality, of course they can't move anywhere. Obviously they can't move anywhere because their whole lives is a lie. And if the whole point of life is to move forward in a direction of godliness, in a direction of connection, these Egyptians who lived counter to this were frozen in place. Because you can't possibly move when your whole life is predicated on falsehood and evil. With this we can explain, notes of Sim Shalom, the Slomin Rebbe in 15a, the idea that we say the Pasuk in Yeshaya, we say it in our Birkos HaShachar, in our Birkos Kriyat Shema, that Hashem is Yotzer Or Uvarech Hoshech. Yotzer Or, He forms lightness, light, Uvarech Hoshech, and He creates darkness. Which is a little bit difficult, because Yetzira, formation, is on a lower level than Bria, than creation. And He knows, the Yesh Hoshech Shu Be'etzem Or Gadol, there is a light, which is, there's a darkness which is really a light. El Sha'or Ko Gadol Shemachshich Etainayim. It's so light that it blinds your eyes like you're looking into the sun. And it's this type of light that the Gemara tells us in C, that Hashem is going to bring the sun out of its containment, and the Rishayim are going to be judged by it, and the Tzaddikim are going to be healed by it. So now we understand, my friends, from where did this light come from? Did it come from a source of Gehenna, or did it come from a source of celestial being? Well, a level. Well, on the first level, the answer is it came from both. There was an abuvia, there was a mixture of both. That's the Or Gedayot. According to this, it only came from the higher level. It came from the celestial level. Ah, how can the Rishayim benefit from this higher level? The answer is they didn't benefit. They suffered as a result of this higher level. And this very same light, like in the future, has the ability to do two counter things. Heal the righteous and punish the wicked. That's exactly what happened to the Jews. They were healed, as the Chayim Moshe points out, that this, ki gam b'chashkut ha'neshama v'ha'nefesh shayach lomar choshech, u'be'ed he'ir ziv ha'neshama shayach lomar al zeh l'shon or. What happened here when Hashem put this light on the Jews, who ki yutru b'nei Yisrael v'izdakeku, the asterisk in 19, ha'chenesu ru'uyim liyot am kadosh v'amlech ha'konim l'Hashem. This was part of the process to get them ready to be the holy nation of God. This light had such a power that was ability of transformation for the Jews, while the Egyptians were literally frozen in place and punished with this very same light. With this in mind, my friends, we now can appreciate the idea of the language of Vayomesh Choshech, and which we understood, Rashi says, Vayamesh, that you could feel this intense darkness. That works on the first level, that the darkness was real darkness. Right? There was darkness and there was light. But how do we understand Vayamesh Choshech? Well, we understand there was really no darkness there. It was just light. It was a blinding light. How do I understand Vayamesh Choshech? So the Ereshet Tzvatenu, the Rav Schlesinger, quotes an idea from the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibrodichev. And he notes the following. We know from the Arizal that before Hashem created Kol Holomos, Haya Oro Gadol, Hagadol Vivhir Mimale Kol Metzius. Hashem's light filled the entire world. Achemi Godel Or Lo Yafshal Nevirim Lispol Oro Gadol Vayum Batlimim Mitzvutam. The light was so great that nobody could exist. It just overpowered everything. V'lachein, therefore, it seems same. Kadosh Baruch Hu Barov Rachamav V'Chasdav Egodu Beirut Oro. What Hashem did was He diminished this light according to every person how and every being how much light they could take, and that's why you have by the Malachim, you have B'shtayim Yechaseh Panav, U'B'shtayim Yechaseh Reglav. They covered their face from looking upward because those above them, well, light was so much greater. And they covered their feet to protect those beneath them from this powerful light. Every person, wherever they were standing, had the light that they could deserve. Klal Yisrael have the ability, we have the kelim to be able to take in this light, and it depends on our level. Rishayim, who don't hold by level of Torah mitzvah, don't even have the kli, don't even have the vessel to take in this light. Now I appreciate what's going on here. Lefi Rayon said, now I understand, according to Kedushas Levi, Makas HaChoshek, that Kadosh Baruch Hu brought on the Mitzrayim, on Mitzrayim, 19. Dahainu, she see her Kadosh Baruch Hu, etat simsum, hamet samsim, et goldoro, kidei shiskalo, ro, beli shum simsum. What did Hashem do? Vayamesh choshech, vayamesh, we said, is a lashon havat tzara of removal. Lo yamush, he never was removed from the tent by Yoshua. What does it mean, vayamesh choshech? Sheshimesh v'yasira choshech havarel tzimtzum v'itgala ha'or b'liv tzimtzum. Hashem took away, vayamesh, he took away the shield that protects that intense light that we are unable to hold, and now what was left was its light in its greatness, in its grandeur, in its all of its glory. Vayomesh Choshech means that Hashem removed the darkness, removed the concealment over this original light, and now the light existed without any concealment and was found with all of its power. With this, we can appreciate. Ulechol b'nei Yisrael 20, haya or b'mashvotam, and all the Jews had light in their dwelling. Ki mechamat shekiblu aleim Torah mitzvos, because they took on Torah mitzvos that they understood from their fathers. Memeila gam yochlu lispol Torah gadol shen mishak makar chosha, because whatever level of Torah mitzvos that they had, right on Shabbos they would learn Megillos, whatever they were able to hold on from their fathers, that enabled them to hold on to this light. And it's interesting, as far as saying, Divrei Yisrael from Majus, that Moshvotam is the same letters as Tshuva, that Klal Yisrael were able to hold on to that level of connection to Hashem. We'll just add here, Rav Pinkus notes very beautifully, he says, the Pasuk tells us, Ner l'ragli dvarecha v'or l'sivasi, that the candle is a light to my words and the light to my pathway. We're talking about the light of Torah mitzvos, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down this light of Kedusha from heaven that blinded the Egyptians like Gehenna, for Klal Yisrael it was the ability to see the depths and the Sitrei Olam, the secrets of this world. And he says that if you want to know how to be able to conquer the nations around us, utilize the power of the light of Torah. When we are able to bring the Zot Zrichot Liot HaChana Shalanu L'Kras HaGula, you want to bring redemption, you want to know how to silence the enemies, L'Arbot Ba'or Torah, when you, every individual, intensifies your Torah learning, when you intensify your Torah mitzvos, you are creating, you are tapping into that light. They say, where did Hashem hide the Sura Gunus in Torah? So when we learn Torah and are involved in Torah, that brings tremendous light into this world. Gevaldic idea. We don't need the atomic bombs and we don't need the threats and the missiles. You know what we need? We need the light of Torah. The light of Torah. We saw in Mitzrayim that Ur HaGadlus, that powerful light, silences, freezes the enemy. When we are involved, says Rav Pinkus, in the learning of Torah, in bringing that light to the fore, that too has the ability to freeze and to silence our enemies. And this is the pathway, perhaps, that we should take. Okay, my friends, let's stop for a moment. Take a deep breath and try to understand what we've seen so far, and let's go a little bit deeper. How is Makas Choshech parallel to Yehior? First level, very simple, is that the fact that light and darkness exist on the same level, coming from both Gehenna and the celestial highs at the same time, that which seems to us to be a contradiction is exactly the point that Hashem is the one who controls the world, Vayior, and there was light. And Hashem creates these contradictions because He's in charge of everything, and a person should feel the Hashgacha Prati, the divine providence, in each and every moment when we feel the sunshine or the rain or the snow, or whatever we live, whatever weather it is, that Hashem is doing it for us individually, the tremendous love of Kadosh Baruch Hu has. And so our job is to be able to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lahavdil Elif Alfei Avdalos, where's Waldo? Lahavdil, right, thousands. Distinction, finding Hashem at every single moment of our lives. On the second level, Vayhi Or is exactly what Choshech was, as the Malbim knows, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal's quoting that it's talking about, that it was the light of creation that Hashem brought into Egypt. It wasn't darkness, it was light. Ah, that light was such a powerful light. It's about the light of movement toward redemption, that the Egyptians who lived a life counter to that, they were frozen in place. They couldn't move forward because their lives were predicated on a lie. The Jews were able to take this light, take the Torah mitzvos, and be able to grow from it, to be able to understand the depths of life from it, to be able to be purified from it. They walked into the houses. They didn't have to open any drawers. They saw X-ray vision. That was the power of this light that Adam Arisha was able to see from one end of the world to the other. This light, we have the ability to bring into our lives every time we learn Torah. The Or HaGadlus is hidden. It's within Torah. Okay, my friends, now let's take this one step further. The Ne'er Uziel notes in source number 22. The word tangible, Vayamesh, indicates the Egyptians suffered from something other than a mere absence of life. They experience a sensation of darkness. Again, we need to understand this. A cursory reading of these words might lead us to surmise that the plague of darkness lasted only for 3 days. Our sages tell us that, in fact, it lasted for 6 days, two distinct phases. First, God withheld life from the Egyptian, preventing them from seeing, and then in some way magnifying the darkness and rendered them immobile. Yet darkness is not known to cause it's not a known cause of physical paralysis. Was Egyptians' their ability to move a purely miraculous phenomena? Or is it a natural human reaction to the particular stimulus to which they were exposed? 23. In relating the works of 6 days of creation, the Torah follows a definite pattern. First, the Torah names that which is to be created, and then it concludes, Vayhi Kein, and it was so. The only exception to this pattern occurred in the creation of light. In this instance, the Torah does not say, let there be light, and there was light. And not, let there be light, and it was so. The Torah says, let there be light, and it was light, and not, let there be light, and it was so. The commentary explains the light to which the Torah refers is not daytime light we are accustomed to, but rather a supernal light that is of an exclusively spiritual nature, which is what we're talking about, that Or HaGadlus, the hidden light. The sages say that after he created the supernal light, God concealed it in order to prevent the wicked from misusing it and stored it away for the righteous to enjoy it in the distant future. Since God created this light, it must serve a purpose. Why then did God conceal it? And here's the key. And the asterisks in 23. Our sages have explained that everything that exists in this world has a parallel form in a higher dimension. Thus, every entity has both a physical manifestation and a spiritual manifestation. Bound as we are by our human limitations, we may not be aware of the spiritual aspects of various material phenomena. But those to whom God grants a special awareness are cognizant of their existence. Light, as we know it, is merely the corporeal manifestation of a higher, more abstract essence known as truth. In the upper realms, light manifests itself as truth, while in our lower domain, it manifests itself as electromagnetic radiation visible to the human eye. The higher manifestation of light, truth, is the supernal light God concealed during the process of creation. During the plague of darkness, the Jews were granted the use of the supernal light in this corporeal dimension, resulting in a supernatural ability to discern that which was hidden from the eyes of the Egyptian. What does this mean? So he notes in 24 and 25, and we'll then pick up in 26, that when the Egyptians, many years before, had been very wealthy, where all the lands came down to get wheat and food because there was a great famine in that whole region. The Egyptians became very, very wealthy. And what they did, he explains, was they hid their wealth in their backyards, right? They hid it in many different places in order to keep their wealth, which is not unusual. Many people hide their wealth. The Egyptians themselves, over the years, forgot where this wealth was. And it was almost like, you know, a myth. Well, is there wealth? Is there not? When the Jews had this ability of corporeal light, which isn't really light, it's the aspect of truth, it's the aspect, as we spoke about, of clarity, they didn't need to go into the Egyptians' houses and start snooping around. All they did was able to see that which one can't normally see. And therefore they would say, with this vision they had gained in 26 through the supernal light, Jews could say to their Egyptian neighbors, of course you have valuables. Go to the edge of your field, walk 3 feet east, dig 3 meters down, and there you'll find them. To the Egyptians' amazement, the treasures were hidden exactly where their Jewish neighbors had directed them. They were able to see with this light where all the treasures that the Egyptians had buried in the past were. And that's why the Jews came out with enormous wealth. It was a wealth that was coming from years before. Just as light in the arrow in 26 is a worldly manifestation of clarity and truth, darkness is an extension of confusion and distorted view of reality. Darkness represents a state of indecision and inner turmoil in which even simple everyday activities become impossible, for they all require an element of clarity. When man is overwhelmed by self-doubt and confusion, he loses the ability to make decisions and to act. Such indecision leaves him functionally impaired, and for all intents and purposes, renders him a cripple. This is the meaning of the Torah's description of darkness that became tangible. God cast the dark cloud of confusion over the Egyptian people, which was so intense as to render them physically immobile. In contrast, the Jews experienced the supernal light of creation, which raised them to an exalted state of awareness. And indeed, my friends, the Birkas Mordechai, Rav Ezrachi, has such a gewaldic piece here. This was like, wow. I was like walking around sharing this piece with everyone this week because I had never really encountered Choshech on this much deeper level. That Choshech and Or are not, as we just mentioned in the Ner Uziel, light and darkness as we see it in this physical world. Light and darkness are really concepts. Like we dive into Hashem, Va'er Einenu B'Sarasecha, and light up our eyes with Torah. What does that mean? That God should, you know, turn on the light? No, you ever heard this idea like, you know, the light bulb goes on, right? And that's, you know, people draw a light bulb means a person has an idea. It's not by accident. Light represents this ability of understanding, of discernment. Va'er Einenu B'Sarasecha, and light up our eyes, with Torah, is we're asking Hashem not just for physical light, we're asking for the spiritual light of understanding. We're asking for that Or HaGadol. You know, when a person says, I'm in the dark about this, what does it mean? I don't know. We use these expressions. These expressions aren't random, right? It doesn't mean you're physically in the dark. It means you don't have an understanding. When a person sins, Hekshich Adam, Ne'elam Me'oro, he's been darkened, he's lost his light. So now we can appreciate, my friends, what does it mean that the Egyptians weren't able to move? The ability to get up, notes the Birkas Mordechai in 28, the ability to get up and move is something that we take for granted. But you know what? This instinct is something that our brains have to be able to tell our body, okay, stand up now. And we know, Lolino, a person who has a stroke can't do these, you know, what we call automatic activities. It takes a certain, you know, communication between the brain and the different parts of the body. Raise your hand so your hand is raised up. And if there's a shituk b'moach, and if there's lo aleinu, it's frozen, there's a seizure, or there's some type of break in that communication, then a person can't do these activities. And that is why Vayamesh Choshech, the people of Egypt, were in such a state of darkness. Don't understand it just as physical darkness, as the Ner Uziel said. It's understand it as a state of darkness in the intellectual
frame as well. And that is why being able to move, to get up, to sit down, they were unable to do. They had lost all clarity. They had lost all understanding. Well, the Jews had this deeper level of light, this deeper level of understanding. The Choshech of the Egyptians is coming from Gehenna. It's coming from a place of the worst Gehenna possible, where you can't function in this world. And the light of the Jews is coming from the highest place, the place of Gan Eden, Ve'erinenu B'sarasecha, and being able to appreciate this light, being able to tap into this. With this, my friends, that we can appreciate that the light is not just physical light. The light is a supernal light. And it's not just a supernal light. It's a light of clarity. It's a light of truth. It's a light of knowledge. We can then appreciate in Source 30, the Torah Semes Reb Leib Eger. Lavina Shenishar HaMakos Lo Katuv Rakshib Bnei Yisrael Lo Haya Makahu. It doesn't say they didn't have this. Rather, it says that they had light, the counter. It's in order to tell us that Klai Yisrael, in fact, were not worthy of being redeemed. The Navi described, do we say, in the Pesach Seder Vat Aron, there, yeah, you're naked, you have nothing. V'ach b'rthot Hashem l'go alam in the bracket in 30, but Hashem wanted to redeem us. Heir lehem or k'dushato yiparach. So what did Hashem do? He shone the great light of holiness on us. Sheet o'er levavam lishtokek latseit mimitzrayim akon klipara orla. This light, the light of truth, was awakening in Klal Yisrael the desire to connect with Hashem, to leave the place of impurity in Egypt, and to enter into a bris, enter into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the kindness of this light. It wasn't just the light that they were able to see what was found in the Egyptians' homes or field. It was much deeper than that. It was the light, as we saw in the Chaim Moshe Rabik, of purity, a light of inspiration, where Klai Yisrael, who experienced this light, experienced a moment of clarity. You knew Hashem existed. This was a light that was preceding Mamish Makat Becharos, the firstborn, when Hashem Shekhinah came down, but in all of its intensity. Now I can appreciate, what does it mean? Our original question, which we haven't even touched on, who were the ones that died? Who were these Rishayim? These Rishayim were people who didn't want to leave, and we said, well, they didn't want to leave, or they were assimilated. Hainu hach, it's one and the same. These were people who experienced this light and rejected this light. These were people who saw and felt Vayamesh Choshech. They were able to experience the mamashos, the reality of the Choshech as we're understanding it, the supernal light. They were able to see with clarity a moment of truth, and they chose to reject it. Those were the people who died in Makas Choshech. Now I understand why they had to die now. Why didn't they die earlier? Why didn't they die at a different time? It was Choshech itself. It was this great light itself that created their death. Because they opted, when they had this in front of them, and it aroused in them, and inspired in them such a level, let me connect with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me leave this Egyptian culture and the defilement of Egypt. Let me enter into bris milah with you. Let me enter into a covenant with you. But the Mayachayi, they rejected this. And hence, it was no wonder that they died. Notes. The late Tahor, Rav Avigdor Parnas. That these Rishayim lo hayu rotzim latzeit. Che'ikar tfigam Yisrael bol tozvan atashi yelahem haratzom v'chefetz latzeit mitnufot avodazar shom Yitzrayim. What does it mean they didn't want to leave? It means they didn't want to separate themselves from the idolatry and from the immorality of the Egyptians, and to be able at the same time lizko l'geula she'edveikus bo yisbarach, to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Ratzon Zeh, this desire had the ability for the Jews who were immersed in the Avodah Zarah of Egypt to be able to extricate them. And that's what it says later on in our parasha, to go and take the tzon. And Rashi says, L'chu mishchu mishchu yadam Avodah Zarah. They remove themselves from idolatry. This Ratzon, this light, was the light that they followed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wanted to redeem them, was just waiting for people who wanted to be redeemed.
Rabosai, let's listen very closely here.
Who were the people that died in the Makas Choshech? These were people who insisted on staying in where they were and did not want to move themselves to a higher level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired them with darkness, which was really light, in order to be able to bring them into a place of greater clarity, a greater truth. It's interesting, my friend, that the Drashtavi points out that this idea of darkness preceding the eventual salvation is going to be what the experience of Golos in Geula is going to be about. That Klal Yisrael Lamnatzeach Al Yelad HaShachar, Shachar is Shishachriyut Mitchazeket. When the Shachor, when the darkness becomes the most intense, then you know redemption is on its heels. And that's what we have to understand. That in life, right before the Geula, the darkness is going to be so intense, which means that there's going to be such a pull toward the world of the physical. There's going to be such a pull toward this world of Choshech, as the Egyptians define it, a world that doesn't have godliness in it. As the Sfarim point out, that right before the Satan is going to be put to his final demise and end, he's going to have one last major hurrah. And that's what we're experiencing right now. We're experiencing a world of such darkness and corruption, a world so devoid of God. And know, my friend, that in this moment when we feel that we're in a world of such darkness, this is our challenge, to be able to raise ourselves above and say, I want to leave. I don't want to get caught in the muck of the physical world and all of the technology, and forget the world of God. Forget where I'm headed. And that makes sense, that the Jews died at this point, because this was the or, this was the light of revelation, this is the light that's going to bring them forward to redemption. They didn't want to be redeemed. They wanted to stay with all their pleasures and whatever it was in this world. Why do I need a spiritual world? Why do I need a spiritual connection to God? Let me just live where I am. And those people who weren't able to take this light, to take this reality, were submerged in this darkness like the Egyptians, and therefore perished. And the question, my friends, is our challenge. As the Shirei Chumash points out, when Mashiach comes, who knows whether the Jews in Europe and America will be ready to leave all of their physical possessions to move to Eretz Yisrael. This is a challenge. This is a challenge that we all have, to not get caught, even living in Israel, not to get caught in the physical world and forget why we're here and what the world is all about. Rabosai, we are mamish right now in the world of Choshech. We are living Makas Choshech right now, right before the final Geula, final redemption. And the question we have is, are we able to submerge ourselves in the light of Torah so that we don't get caught in the world of darkness as the Egyptians understood it? Are we able to understand by He or that God is calling out to us? Are you able to separate yourself from all of that physicality and technology of this world that is so negative? Be able to bring yourself up to Mi Bara Ela, to see that we're moving toward the redemption, the end, and to be able to embrace that. With this, we can appreciate the Lechitcha Elyon, quotes a gewaltig idea from Chaskel Levenstein. And he says, when we talk about how it was so hard for these people to extricate themselves from the physical world, Zeh limud gadol adam shetzarich kol yemei chayav oz v'gvura litvomem latzeit mibotz olam hazeh v'lidol liftoch et kenayim l'rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev amamtim lo. It wasn't only the Jews then, the four-fifths died. It's us. We're also submerged in a number of darkness. And Hashem is waiting for us. It's criminal to stay in the muck and the mud When Hashem wants a relationship with us, when He wants to bring a closeness to us, we're in the middle of Shovavim right now. Shmos Va'erabo B'Shalach Yisra B'Shvatim. These are times of greater tshuva, time of greater closeness to Hashem. It's Orv Moshot Tam, tshuva. Are we waking up? Are we a little bit different? He tells here a gewaltic idea that from Mordechai Kharkov, Hashem Yikom Damo was one of the great Talmidim in the Shiva of Meir. And they asked him, when did you develop your tremendous hashmada, your tremendous passion for learning? And he says, I'll tell you, when I was a bocher, Rabbi Rucham from Meir came in. It was around Shavuot's time. And he said to the Bnei Yeshiva, he said, I now just came from the street. And I see everything around me growing. I see grass, and I see the buds growing, and the flowers. Everything around me is, you know, porchim, is blossoming. And then, dafak ha-mashkiach v'tzal ha-shulchan. And then he banged on the table and asked, ha'im gam atem margishim shatem sochim? Do you also feel like you're growing? And he explained, he says, from that bang on the table, I realized that I have to be able to use my time to grow in this world. Am I growing? Wow! That's the question. So on this level, when I look at this parsha and I say, oh, these people didn't want to leave Egypt, isn't that too bad? You know, look at yourself. Are you ready to extricate yourself from all of the darkness around us? Are we growth-oriented? Was today a different day than yesterday? Do I have a vision when I wake up in the morning of what type of person I want to be today? Am I working on that vision? Or am I, too, very much being buried in the darkness of that distraction and distance from Hashem? And I'd like to offer another two ha'aros of what we can learn from this. Obviously, my friends, what we learn from these people that died is pshuto k'mashmo of Rashi. Shelo ratzu l'igael, they didn't want to be redeemed. Rabosai, Geula is one of the questions that we are going to be asked in the final exam. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Sipita l'Yeshua, did you yearn and long for redemption? Was this part and parcel of your mindset? You know, any person who's ever been pregnant and given birth and has experienced the 9 months, I say it's 9 months plus a year, knows that your whole life is, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing today, and if I happen to give birth, so then my kids will go here, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, right? We always have that backup plan of, and if I go into labor, because you don't know. That's how we have to be with Geula. Okay, this is where I'm going today. I'm going shopping, I'm going to work, and then I'm going to pick up the dry cleaner. And if the Mashiach comes, then I'm just going to pick up my kids straight, go to the airport, go to Yerushalayim, whatever it is. A whole different story. Do we live with that reality? And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves, which is a very piercing question. Am I living with the reality that the world is not the way it's supposed to be, and I'm longing for a difference? As the Shabbos Malka Sefer Pinkas says, what was the reason why they weren't redeemed? And we know what happened in Egypt is going to happen to us. There's no guarantee all of us will be redeemed. What do we need to have in order to be redeemed? She is sowed hageula he be ikar mipnei harutzon ligal. We have to want to be redeemed. This has to be our mindset. Hang up signs in your house. Are you waiting for Mashiach? Do you hear that clock ticking in the opposite direction? This has to be in our mindset. So my Rabosai, let's just see what we've seen. I want to add one final idea. The Or Gadol, this great light, is the light of truth, the light of clarity on the supernal and the higher levels. It's the inability for them to even function because they were in Choshech. Who died? So we saw that the ability for Klal Yisrael to have taken that light that Hashem shone on them, and they saw the truth, and they denied it. That was made them worthy of death. That when you see that there's a God in this world, and you feel Hashem's presence, and you say, you know what, I'd like to live in my little bubble here and enjoy my pleasures of this world, and who needs God? That was the problem that they had. And this we have to realize, that we need to extricate ourselves from that very ditch of darkness, and that this is right before the Gula. It's going to be the darkest time. This is going to be the time when we're going to be inundated with things that bring us farther away from Hashem. Our challenge is to hold on to the Gula, to hold on to the Or, to hold on to that light, to hold on to the light of Torah, to hold on to that light of clarity, to hold on to that light that I'm moving in a certain direction. I'm not going to get stuck in that darkness. I always have to be growth-oriented. I always have to be looking for opportunities to grow, looking for the Gula itself, that this is not going to be forever. And my friends, that's our final idea. One of the things that Hashem created in His Rachmanos to enable us to feel this idea of preparing ourselves for this great light is the Hachana for Shabbos. The preparation for Shabbos is one of the only mitzvahs that mamash have a Hachana. Friday is a time of the week to prepare for Shabbos. Shabbos is a time of Me'ein Olam Haba, of the future world. Shabbos is a time of light. That when I prepare for Shabbos, I'm preparing myself for that future Geula. And recognize, as the Tiva Torah notes in 37, that we say on Motzei Shabbos, Hamavdil ben Or Lachoshet, that Hashem distinguishes from light, from the light to the darkness. That's what Havdalah is about. Shabbos is a time of light. Shabbos is a time of clarity. Shabbos is a time of connection. Shabbos enables me to understand so clearly where I'm going. Shabbos is that powerful, you know, laser beam in my life where I understand there's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Vayihi Or, that on Shabbos I'm able to tap into that Shabbos licht, to tap into the light of clarity that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. And my job is to realize that Hashem is the creator of the world and live a life reflecting of that reflection of that. Shabbos light is the light of clarity that needs to take me not only through Shabbos, Hamavdil ben Or Lachoshech, but the entire week, that the entire week I should be ignited, Yair Lo, Me'or HaShabbos, B'Moshe Otam is the same letters as Shabbos, that the light of Moshe Otam, the light of Shabbos, is the light that will enable me to keep my focus. How are we able to live a light, a life of light in a world that is surrounded by darkness? It's living a life of Torah. The Torah is the Or HaGadol, and it's living a life of Shabbos. The more we invest in Shabbos, the more we prepare for Shabbos, the more that Shabbos becomes the focus of our life, and we live it with that real honesty of truth and understanding and clarity, then I'm able to take that light of Shabbos and allow it to be the source of bracha for my entire week. And in that way, I've been able to peel away the world of darkness and be able to live a life of kulo Or, of real light, and be able to see in everything around me. I'm able to lift my eyes and know who created everything, Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has an intimate relationship with me at every step of the way.